have sort of cyber-stalked someone recently.
Me too.
Had this ex-boyfriend. It just didn't work out. And then this thing pops up.
He's hot, Sonny. He was
very hot. And, but he just wasn't for me. Had the most amazing wedding, man. He's a stuntman, and he also likes to snowboard, and he likes the cold.
I found this out.
He likes everything I don't like to do, which is one of the reasons why we're not together. He meets a girl who's not only gorgeous, so they get married in one spot, beautiful dress.
Her dress was beautiful.
And then they go, and they get on snowboards. They get on helicopters, death copters first. Yeah. Then they get on some snowboards, and I'm like, he met the love of his life.
You're risk averse.
I don't think this would have worked out.
I got the research department
to look into somebody that I dated. We have the access here because I don't know how to do it myself. And I tried to contact him, but he was dead.
And welcome to Deja the View. I thought it would be a good idea to start today's episode by directing your attention to some links that are in the episode description. One is a link to the ACLU Drag Defense Fund, where you can choose to donate to support the ACLU in their defense of the rights of the LGBT community. This is the one that was set up in conjunction with RuPaul's Drag Race, MTV, and World of Wonder. And so I'm putting a link to that in our episode description. And another link that I wanted to direct your attention to for our Canadian sisters is to this petition that closes on May 26th. And it's a petition that is being presented to the House of Commons that basically wants to extend to transgender and non-binary people the right to claim asylum in Canada by reason of laws in their home countries, whatever that country may be, which would include the USA and the UK. So it's essentially aiming to like push our government to take the safety concerns of trans and non-binary people in those countries more seriously. So I recommend checking that out. And also Rainbow Railroad, if you're interested in that topic. And lastly, for our Ontario sisters, I know there's a few. There's also a petition that you can sign that I will link to by the NDP party that is, it's trying to fine anyone participating in harassment or intimidation or hate speech if they're doing so within 100 meters of protected spaces. So they're trying to set up protective zones for LGBT people. And it's a petition that you can sign if you support that. So check those out in the episode description. Today's episode of Deja the View is a little different. I apologize for the delay in our monthly drop, our already sparse episodes. Today, I'm not actually joined by Marie. Sadly,
you have to apologize for that too.
Sadly, it's the time of year where Marie has been called away to gay summer camp, where she has to complete her gay summer camp counselor duties. And so she's unable to join for this episode. Although I will have a special report from her later on. But in place of Marie today, I do have a very special guest star Jones joining me. He is a writer and a podcast host for Entertainment Weekly, and you may have seen or heard some of his work as the official Drag Race reporter and host of the Quick Drag podcast, as well as EW's Binge podcast. And if you're a fan of Drag Race, and you have most definitely seen some of his interviews with queens across all of the Drag Race franchises, and you may have even seen some of his coverage of The View. So please welcome Joy Nolfi.
Thank you so much for that intro. I feel like that was one of the like the Flashback Friday one where they give clip package of the former host, and now I'm Star Jones walking out onto the stage.
Roll it.
That was so sweet. Thank you.
I have many times thought to myself that you kind of have the perfect job as like the official Drag Race reporter.
And then I just added the cherry sweater on top when I started really covering The View heavily in the past like year and a half. So no, that's very kind of you to say. And it is a very fun job. Talking to drag queens all day is what can be better? I do want to say though that I'm just like very genuinely thrilled to be here. I am like a relatively new fan of The View, as we were saying. I'd say with maybe the past year and a half or so. And we've really been ramping up our coverage on EW.com for The View. Everybody should go check it out. We have new articles almost daily. But I feel like I should apologize in advance because I am no U.S. sun. So you won't be getting inside scoop on audience members upset that they didn't get to partake in the co-host's food segments. But I will try my best to satisfy in other ways.
I actually would love to see the U.S. Sun's like Drag Race coverage, if they had any, to compare it to yours and what they would be picking up on. Because what they're picking up on at The View, worlds of difference.
Oh, yes. I have ever since, and like, to be completely honest, like the U.S. Sun was not on my radar until I started listening to like the way backlog of the Deja The View episodes to prepare for this. And just hearing about some of the things that you were saying that they picked up on, I was just like, this is another level of reading this. Like, I saw one where they were talking about Sarah. They were like, Sarah snaps. She ripped up her cards and yelled at a person off camera. And I like watched the video clip and I was like, is that what she saw there?
I know. The headline is always like, Sarah macheted Sunny Hostin. Blood everywhere.
Yes. I mean, I am not shaming anybody else's journalism. Journalism how you want to journalism, but like, I am very much entertained by it. That is what I will say.
Yeah. No, but I do think every publication does need one resident View reporter and at least one resident Drag Race reporter. So
yes, I think so. I fully agree. And I really was going to go like full fantasy with this. And we were talking before this. I came so close to emulating Gen Z Duchess Alyssa Pheromone Boyer Chapman. I had a cherry sweater in my Amazon cart to mark the occasion, my Deja The View debut, but they only had the crop top edition that would arrive on time for the podcast. So I didn't think that would read for audio, the crop top version. So I sadly am not wearing a cherry sweater today.
I thought you were going to say that you were going to don a blonde wig and glasses to be Marie, as you were saying earlier, before we started recording. And that would have been the one video episode of Deja The View.
I can certainly try because my RuPaul Build-A-Bear is literally sitting 2 feet off a frame who has blonde hair. I can just drape her over my forehead if you'd like.
I desperately need to see that before this is over. Did you go to the live finale this year, or have you been in the past?
I'm based in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and the taping is in LA usually. I don't think it's ever been in New York, but it's usually in LA. So I do not go to that. If it was the only thing that they did, I would go to it, but they usually do they usually put it on YouTube, the winner actually watching them find out who actually won. They do that in New York. So I go to that and we usually interview the winner out of that. So that's what we're preparing to do this week. So yeah, those are a lot of fun because you get to see the winner actually realizing that they won in real time. So
yeah,
that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. I wish that we could do that, or like that we had like an official thing for Canada's Drag Race, because usually the queens get together, but it's something that they organize themselves. And sometimes they're not all there, but yeah.
I do remember the one that I saw the footage of Priyanka finding out that she won. That always gets me.
Yeah,
she looks so touched. And yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Priyanka organized that herself. But like, you know, it would be so nice if there was like an official one, but you know, Canada, what can you do?
I love Canada. I do. Is that controversial to say? I am obsessed with Canada.
Not where I'm from.
I want to move to Canada. Wait, where are you from in Canada?
I live in Toronto, but I'm from the East Coast. I grew up in the Maritimes in Nova Scotia, and Marie grew up in New Brunswick as well in the Maritimes, same area, sort of.
The Maritimes, that sounds like a Hunger Games district.
Yeah. The Maritimes are like all of those Eastern, there's like three tiny Eastern provinces that are like on the coast, and they're called the Maritimes, part of Atlantic Canada.
I love it. I have literally only been to Niagara Falls and Toronto, but that and the Rainforest Cafe, well, on the New York side of Niagara Falls, so I guess that doesn't count, but I'm obsessed with Toronto, so you've got that going for you.
Everyone says that the Canada side of Niagara Falls is like, it's the more, it's like the dirtier, more fun side because it's just like casinos and like tourist stuff. But I've never been to the American side, but everyone says that it's like, it's more like a park.
Just dirty. It's just dirty. Yeah. It's the, you definitely want the dirty fun side on Canada. It's like a mini Las Vegas. And then as soon as you step foot on the American side, it's just dirty. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll swim across one day. So you and I started to connect more recently, DMing about some of the goings on at The View.
Ooh, yes.
I remember one thing that comes to mind that you reported on that no one else was reporting on was when The View got brand new stools at the beginning of this season, which may not sound like news to the uncultured viewer, but it was important journalism to me because we, of course, know that the reason that they changed those stools was because of Joy Behar's fall the previous, yes, her shocking, yes, fall the previous season. Oh. And when I saw that, I was like, thank God someone is paying attention to the details.
Yes, I feel seen. Oh my God. And you felt seen.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. Our origin story. This is so sweet. And you know, it's like, we still, if you look at the comment section on EW.com, you still get people on every single View article that we write. It's like people saying, how is this even a story? Why is this news? And I think they said that about the chairs too. And I'm just like,
you're reading it.
We
babe.
Had. Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. First of all, you're clicking and reading. Thank you very much. But this was a huge story in 2022. I mean, it was something that transcended just my little View coverage, which was just starting out at the time. I mean, that was like on cable TV news that Joy Behar fell. So that's in a show changing the same way that we would, or when I say we, I mean, just journalists in general would report on, I don't know, Saturday Night Live getting a new set piece or something that was so I don't want to say the chairs were instrumental, even though they literally were instruments for the women to sit on, but something that was so iconic that you see every day on a TV show is getting changed because it injured somebody. That's news.
Yeah. And the reveal after Joy fell, where they were all just like, actually, this has been an issue for a long time. These stools are not.
I know. They were waiting. They were waiting for somebody to fall. Cause I mean, immediately, like, what was it? Sunny that just came up and she was like this, and you touch it and you fall, you're on the floor. And then Joy immediately just jumped up and started threatening lawsuits, which I mean, yeah,
classic.
That was a moment waiting to happen. Yes.
So more recently, though, you set off a bit of a firestorm or a fart storm, I should say, when you wrote about let me read the headline. The headline was,
oh, please do. Yes.
Water spillage and a mysterious fart noise hilariously interrupt The View. And you started, I believe you were the origin of like how this took off, yet another conspiracy theory about farting.
That's right.
At The View, and this still to this day unexplained water spillage. And the impact of this was so grand that I believe this is the reason that The View co-hosts now are using coasters.
I think I maybe can take credit for starting a wave of change, if you will. I mean, the phantom noises, as I love to call them, they have been plaguing The View for months. I think I want to say this one thing I want to say first. To quote Megan, I take umbrage with how media coverage of The View is framed sometimes. I mean, like I said, we do get a lot of comments being like, how is this a story? And like, that's not a fart noise. And I'm like, not every investigation has to be like combat journalist Lady Gaga at the White House looking for evidence of the insurrection. Like, these little things are worth looking into. I mean, Whoopi takes her name after a a fart noise toy. She has famously farted on, or I mean, she has, I know that you all had this discussion a while back, but she has joked about farting or has actually farted on the show. I mean, I think of when Claire Danes was on and she blew a little frog out of there. Like, I mean, there's precedent here, and it's part of the sort of View legacy for people who are interested enough to click on a View article in the first place are maybe going to know that. So yeah, we reached out, did my due diligence on January 25th, and the fart noise then happened again. Well, I think it was clear that it was more of a mug noise on the March 21st episode. And
I think people here heard what they wanted to hear that day.
That's true. And I did appreciate that you all did the same thing that I did that day. I was rewinding and watching it over and over again, but I was watching a different piece of the footage each time I went back. And I think that that's why we called it a fart noise in our coverage and didn't say explicitly that it was a fart, because I can't believe we're talking about it like this. It is so serious. But you can, at first I did think, okay, maybe it was Sarah's chair when she moved. But then you look at Whoopi's mouth, and it almost looks like Whoopi is like, it's like one of those things where, you know, somebody does something silly and you like go like that. Yeah,
that's my current belief.
Yeah, yeah, I think that could be it. But I just thought it was funny that we didn't get more movement on addressing the actual noise until after the March 21st episode, when Whoopi was like, we get blamed for dropping gas. But March 22nd, no coasters on the table. March 23rd, no coasters on the table. March 24th, all of a sudden there are coasters under the mugs. So, I mean, are we also responsible for that? Who's to say? I don't know.
Yeah, this new era of The View, you never know what they're going to address and what they're not going to address. Like, even if someone is, like, literally protesting in the audience, like, you never know whether they're going to talk about it or not.
I forgot about that, yes. What a moment. What a moment. Oh, that is burned into my brain.
Yeah, exciting times. Mm. And speaking of exciting times, you had mentioned that you really wanted to talk about this Taraji interview or post-interview moment. This is one that you wrote that I really loved, especially because, like, this is difficult to find footage. Like, people need this information. Mm-hmm. You can't deny people this information. It says, Whoopi Goldberg pauses The View to yell at mystery backstage noisemaker, it's Taraji. And it's short and sweet, but it's just really, I'll just read this if you don't mind.
Yes, please do. Oh, yes, yes.
The View's ongoing war with sonic terrorism has reached a fever pitch. Show moderator Whoopi Goldberg literally took a stand during Thursday's live broadcast when she got up from the table to shout at a mysterious backstage noisemaker as the ladies attempted to move on with the show. Cool, the 67-year-old said after co-host Alyssa Farah Griffin plugged an appearance on an upcoming podcast before rising from her chair to scold the unknown person backstage. Hold on a second, y'all. Hey, who's ever back there? We can hear you. The studio audience laughed as Goldberg turned her back to them while her co-host chimed in with their predictions regarding the culprit. The View guest, Taraji P. Henson, who left the set mere moments prior. It's Taraji, Griffin said. I think it's Taraji, Sunny Hostin added. It's Taraji, Joy Behar noted with a smile. Sarah Haynes did not speculate on the person's identity. EW has reached out to representatives for The View and Henson for more information. Here's my question.
I love that. Let me yes, before your question, thank you. That dramatic reading. Oh, yeah, I know it's really tacky for me to be laughing at my own work, but it is just like the combination of you sitting here reading this to me dramatically is what is making me laugh.
Because I know for you, you probably wrote this, fired it off, never looked at it again. Yes. But I stayed.
True, true. Oh, thank you.
My question is, Are you actually reaching out to the representatives for The View every time?
So, if we note it in an article publicly that we are reaching out to representatives, yes, we are reaching out to representatives.
Beautiful.
Yes. So, yeah, we're not, I mean, EW is not the kind of publication that is, you know, we're not out here just making things up when we say it. So, yeah, if we say it in the article, we're doing it for sure.
Gorge. Just, you know, mm-hmm. I think that was important to clarify.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of people might think that that's ridiculous, but I think when you really get down to it, I mean, you're a media organization, you're reporting on things, whether it's lighthearted or serious, and you want to make sure you get your facts straight. And sometimes without reaching out, you might not get things like why the chairs were replaced or why the mugs have coasters under them now, which provide funny little silly stories that people like you and other people who listen to this podcast, and I'm sure plenty of other people who obsess over these little tiny moments and get pleasure out of these moments, whether others don't understand why or not, like that it leads to this. So it is, even though it's not, the subject matter might not be the most groundbreaking or serious thing, that's what journalism is. You know, you're reaching out to sources and you're confirming, because you never want to publish something that isn't factual or backed up, or you give somebody a chance to respond to something that is speculative, like the fart noise, and you give them a chance to respond and clarify, which leads to a lot of really great things. Like one time we reached out to, I think there was a time, it was early, I think it was early this year or late last year. It was either early this year or late last year, where there was just an episode where Whoopi wasn't on. And it was an episode that she is usually on. So you reach out and they were like, oh, well, okay, actually we've been given the clearance to tell you that she has COVID. So you can publish that she has COVID. And it's like, if you don't reach out, you don't get things like that. Mm-hmm. That's how journalism works. Yeah.
Well, Marie and I are all about the facts, and we are always right. We always get everything right on this podcast, 100% of the time. And we always do our due diligence. I'm always texting Whoopi, just getting confirmation.
Thanking her for the heels that she gave you.
Yeah. Platforms. So, okay. I think we've kind of established this a bit, but for the listeners, tell me a bit about your journey with The View. I know you said you're a more recent fan, but what kind of made you start honing in on the show? What got your attention and got you hooked more recently?
Well, anything that my parents will not watch is automatically interesting to me. And I just feel like anytime it's on, they're like, oh, did you see what the ladies said on The View today? And that just automatically makes me more interested. So it was, I want to say, within the past, yeah, like 2 years to a year and a half is when I started watching every single day. And of course, the show is so big that it has been in my consciousness ever since I was a kid. I remember, oh God, when was the Elizabeth and Rosie fight was 2007.
That's right.
So I remember Kathy Griffin, though. The thing that I always remember about that is Kathy Griffin being on the next day and her iconic, just bringing it up, when they're talking to the Dancing with the Stars people and she's like, oh, I have a question. Did you see the fight with Rosie and Elizabeth yesterday? Like, it's just stuff that's unavoidable. It's so big in pop culture, but I wasn't watching it regularly at the time. And then about 2 years ago, I read The Ladies Who Punch book and I was like, okay, I am missing so much by not watching the show every single day. And, you know, being in quarantine was a very easy way to work from home and also, you know, tap into this gold that was on my TV every single day that I had not been reporting on. And I'm having the time of my life reporting on it now. It is just, I love it. It's so much fun. But it's also fun to, yeah, like bring people like you and Marie and people that get what is so great about this show. It's really fun to bring those things to people.
I'm so glad that you brought up Kathy Griffin in the Rosie Elizabeth saga, because she's such a like forgotten side character in that story, along with Sherry Shepherd's comedy CD and Alicia Silverstone.
Yes, the CD. Oh, I just watched the Alicia Silverstone clip again the other day. She, do we think that was she snubbing Elizabeth? Do we think she purposely was?
So I choose to go with she was snubbing Elizabeth.
Me too. Me too.
It's my right to choose.
But I mean, I think you can tell that Elizabeth in the moment felt that too, because the way that she like sticks her hands on her hips, it's very much a like, oh, okay, well, so we are in line thought-wise with Elizabeth, you and I. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel comfortable and safe.
Same.
So let's go into some view updates as of recent. I think we should just give the people what they want, which is we need to talk about Muggate.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I don't know if I mentioned this already, but I did ask Marie for a special report on this, and she delivered. So maybe before we talk about this, I would like to share Marie's special investigation on this.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
It's very long. In the best way, but like,
great.
She went deep, and I'm gonna play it for you. By way of holding, it's also she sent it in two separate. This is how I received this. I received this in an email. Marie is like deep in the trenches at work. She's very busy right now, and she still managed to send me two emails with like 19. audio files each. And I'm now going to hold up my email, my phone to the microphone and play that for everyone. So
explain the process.
Here
yes.
we go.
Hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle. Marie jumped over the moon. Hey, y'all, Marie here. And today I'm having Bandera bread for the table. And for to drink, I'm washing it down with three mugs of Midnight Fantasy by Britney Spears. And I'd like to report a muggin. If you're hearing this, it means I've finally realized my lifelong dream of playing Lea Michele's understudies, cousins on her mom's side, plant warderer. And though it breaks my heart to miss an episode of Deja the View, I am so thankful to Lea Michele's team for allowing me to take a few minutes to enjoy the view of Sarah's many, many coffee mugs. Now, if you've noticed over the last few weeks, Sarah Haynes has inexplicably been using multiple coffee mugs at the view table, seemingly with no rhyme or reason, you are not alone. One day, she'll have three mugs, the next, two. Some days, the mugs are matching, and others have even included mugs from past seasons. Now, as a lover of science and an owner of the CSI Las Vegas computer game in 2002, I decided to take it upon myself to track and report the solid evidence behind Sarah's mug use and look for a pattern and some method to this absolute madness. And listeners, my results will haunt you. Sarah Haynes has used two or more mugs every day of the view since February 2022. So what set it off, What happened to derail her one mug routine? Bernie Sanders and Michael B. Jordan happened. That's what. The last day on record that Sarah Haynes used one mug was February 21st, 2023, the day that featured not only a Bernie Sanders interview, but a Michael B. Jordan interview in the same episode. Since then, Sarah has used two or three mugs with no discernible pattern every day of the view. So did Bernie and Michael B. have anything to do with it? Or was her multiverse of mugs sparked by something completely unrelated? Let's take an even deeper dive. In the last 2 weeks, viewers noted her mug use got even more interesting. On March 24th, after days of using two mugs and three mugs, Sarah used zero mugs during that episode of The View. Mm-hmm. Then after the weekend, Sarah comes back on March 27th, back to two mugs again the next day, three mugs. And then on March 30th, something that nobody saw coming, Sarah comes out two mugs on the table, neither of which are the blue mugs of this season. One of them is an old white mug from a previous season. Another one is the mug that features Paula Ferris and Jedediah Bela. So then after that day, I have to wonder what happened to the blue mugs. Why were both blue mugs replaced with these previous season mugs? Is it something as simple as the studio is simply running out of mugs? They can't keep up with the demand. They had to go into, you know, the archives, the storage, and start pulling out older mugs for Sarah to use. Maybe the dishwasher broke. I don't know. Then the next day we think, okay, maybe a return to routine. Wrong.
Okay, that was only part one. Buckle up for part two.
Why did she not just send one long voice note? Dispatches from the field, yes.
March 31st, two mugs again. Both old season mugs. One is like an older kind of early 2000s red mug. And then again, we have the Paula Ferris Jedediah Bela mug. So now at this point, I will say the only pattern that I could find was that, you know, the stunt mugs, the goop of it all. So that would be March 24th, the zero mugs, and then March 31st, you know, the two old season mugs. Those both fell on a Friday, where then Sarah would return on the following Monday and go back to her normal multiple mug routine. I don't know if that's a coincidence. I don't know if that was planned out. You know, who knows what goes on in that big, beautiful brain of hers. The other thing about digging into these previous season mugs was then it kind of set the expectation that she would keep doing that, right? Like maybe it was like a purposeful throwback. Again, wrong. The week of April 3rd, we have consistently the current blue mugs, except on April 5th, where she's using one different mug, and it's one of the more recent but previous season mugs. So now, with all of this really, really in-depth, really hard-hitting research in place, I started to wonder, what is the reason behind it? And I came up with a few different theories. Theory number one, okay, is that Sarah Haynes is looking for that permanent brunch state of mind. I don't know about you, but when I'm at brunch, there needs to be at least two, three beverages on the table that are for just me. And, you know, maybe there's something about that Bernie and Michael B. Jordan day that just set it off in Sarah's head that she was thinking like, you know, I'd rather be at brunch right now. And then she thought, brunch is a state of mind. And if I can't be at brunch, I'm bringing brunch to me. So, you know, that's, I feel like that's a pretty, you know, plausible theory. So that's theory number one. The second theory I have is a little more personal. So I'm thinking Sarah Haynes bulking season. And by that, I mean, I think that she might be loading up on protein shakes and creatine, you know, something that I personally have been trying to, you know, delve into recently as well, because maybe, just maybe, this is leading up to a Disney trip. And we know what comes out at Disney, and that's Sarah's shoulders. So I just want to put it out there. I don't want people to get their hopes up, but I'm just saying, like, if a Disney trip or some type of vacation gets announced in the next few weeks, I think that is our answer. Theory number three is a little dark-sided, I'm going to be honest, okay? It's a little bit twisted. This is where I really start to feel a little more true crime. I cannot stop thinking about why Sarah used the Paula Ferris and Jedediah Bela mug at the end of March. Those 2 days in a row, she wasn't switching them up. They were there both days. And I'm just wondering, was this whole mug thing like just a lead up to an excuse to be able to use those mugs on TV? Is there something deeper? Is she trying to signal us something regarding Paula or regarding Jed? Or was it as simple as, like, those were the mugs that she had the easiest access to? I don't know, but there's something about her using those two mugs, and those are the only repeat of the older mugs that she's used. Something's not sitting right with me. But speaking of sitting right, someone who famously loves to sit, especially while performing on their Eras tour, Taylor Swift. Theory number four. These mugs are Sarah Haines's Eras tour. She's using the mugs to look back on previous seasons. She's keeping us guessing. She's doing the classic kind of Taylor Swift Easter egg, like, does this mean anything? Does it not? She's having fun with it. You go, girl. She's giving us the View mugs, Sarah's version. And you know what? I'm living for it. I'm buying every single copy. I'm in line waiting for it on record store day. I haven't been this excited by a mug since Demi Lovato said it was her favorite dish, okay? So I don't really have any problem at all with that. I think it's keeping things exciting, and I'm tuning in just waiting to see what's next. So the case remains open for now, and Lea Michele's understudy's cousin has a ficus that needs watering, but I would love to hear your theories about Sarah's mugs as I keep gathering more very important scientific evidence. So until next time, take a little time to enjoy Blissful Fantasy, the new fragrance by Britney Spears. Find your bliss.
Oh, I think when Marie told you she didn't have time for a podcast, she was lying. First of all.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, sorry, guys. Yes. Sorry, guys. I can't. Meanwhile,
I can't.
She's in her room drawing crime scene diagrams. Connecting
Carrie Matheson and Homeland. Yes. But my reaction to that, like, I was noticing myself watching this, and I was immediately reminded of the Osama bin Laden Situation Room, Hillary Clinton just sitting there like like this. That is how I was watching this. And I that was quite a journey. I appreciate it. I receive every single second of it. It is interesting that Marie brought up Taylor Swift, because in my notes on this, I too brought up the Taylor Swift theory. So I think there's intersection there. I think that my thing is that I do think it's a much simpler explanation. I think this is a woman who comes from the world of competitive sport as the former member of a gay volleyball team named Go Glen Coco. She knows the art of competing for her meme time, for her screen time. I think honestly that this is Sarah trolling. She's gone from two mugs to three mugs to the one color that doesn't match the others to the Jed and Paula mug. Like, it's too random. I think we're looking too deeply into, we're becoming combat journalist Lady Gaga looking for evidence when there might not, it's just, she's trolling. And I think she's doing it. Yeah, she's in her Taylor Swift era. That's what I think.
I agree, but I think there's, as Alyssa Farah Griffin would say, two things can be true at the same time. And that, like, it's like, on one hand, I do truly believe she is drinking three different beverages every day. On the other hand,
yes,
she is fully trolling us by mixing it up all the time. It's as soon as she realized she was getting attention for it, she was like, I'm going to make a moment out of this, and I'm going to never speak about it, and I'm going to keep you guessing. I think it's right in line with how we've been saying that Sarah has really, like, stepped into her power this season. She's really making her presence known, and this is all part of it. And I still want to know what she is drinking in those three mugs. Like, is it one hot, one cold, one room temperature? Is it coffee, tea, water, beer, wine, liquor? Is she really that thirsty?
It could also be, maybe it's Robitussin. Maybe it's she just to keep the coughing down. Maybe she's sick. Maybe she, who knows? Like, I mean, there's literally as many liquids as there are on the planet. That's how many possibilities there are. I mean, yeah, but... One of them, I think we can safely say one of them is water. One, we know one has to be water. I'm assuming that, I mean, live television, I always have a liquid with me because my voice, when I get nervous sometimes and I'm speaking, my throat will literally just close up in the middle of interviews sometimes. So that could be why she's doing, I have no idea. It really is the mystery that keeps on mystifying. I don't know.
I think the other thing about this that I've been reminded of because of this is that this show used to have mugs with all the hosts' faces on it. And we've all just like gotten used to them not doing that anymore. But Sarah bringing back the throwback Eras Tour mugs has reminded me that like they used to have really creative and fun mugs. I have many of them in my home. And I think it's time to get back to that. The other thing I want to say,
yes,
that I just remembered that I meant to say is that speaking of always having water with you, I get the feeling, and this isn't a diss, I just get the feeling that Sarah is probably one of those people that does carry around the big water jug. And I think if we're at a point where we're allowing her to sit there with three mugs full of potentially water, why don't we just let her put her big old jug on the table? Maybe it's a game. Maybe it's one of those ones that's like, keep going. And we just see how much she can get down in the show.
Is it? Yeah. Like, so you're talking about the ones that has like the mark. It's like, oh yeah, you've drank this much. You only have a few more to go to hit your goal. Okay. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. What if it was one of those, but it was a different co-host's face? So we still keep that lineage going of like the paintings of the co-host on the mug. It's a different one each time she hits a mark drinking. Like, how hard could that be to do, just to print that on there?
I'm sure it's very easy. Very easy.
And I would buy one of those. I mean, that's Vue merch that I would purchase.
I think if they do promo photos again, they need to have the hosts sitting at the table just full of mugs. Like that picture of Beyonce with all her Grammys. I want Sarah to just have mugs everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
Cradling.
Or they could, yes. Like, the mugs are technically wearing the co-hosts with the faces on them. They can all wear sweaters with mugs on them as well while the mugs are sitting in front of them on the table.
I think that's a great idea. And it's actually, I'm starting to visualize new Halloween theme.
Yeah,
we're all dressing as mugs.
What if Sarah is a mug for Halloween? Oh my God.
She has to be three different mugs changing throughout the show.
Yes. Well, yes. I mean, that would be a beautiful Halloween costume because, as Anna once taught us, what could be more beautiful than a mug?
Exactly.
What's better than a beautiful coffee mug?
The way that the U.S. Sun reported on this, I'm not going to read the entire articles, but the two headlines that they wrote about this are killing me. It says, Slurpee Sarah. The Vue fans beg for answers as Sarah Haynes' strange on-air behavior gets out of hand. And then later, they wrote another article, Spill the Tea. The Vue Sarah Haynes' strange on-air behavior gets even more wild as fans accuse her of straight-up trolling them.
It's just like, you would think that she is out there harassing the studio audience and the co-hosts with the way that some of those headlines are written. It's like, but you watch it and it's literally just like the most harmless shit that's going on the stage.
Slurpee Sarah.
So funny. Slurpee Sarah. Yeah.
This episode is for you, Slurpee Sarah.
Well, she does listen, doesn't she? She follows?
Unconfirmed, but occasionally will respond to very specific things. So you never know who's listening.
Yeah. Like water involving water slides.
Or bangs. Sarah also, speaking of Vue updates, she's entered the podcasting space herself, joining Abby Huntsman and Paula Ferris as Vue co-hosts who have podcasts now, and She Who Must Not Be Named, Bila, I just named her.
I was going to say, yeah, you just said her name.
She's launched a podcast on YouTube. I couldn't find it on any podcast platforms, but it's called Just Curious. It's on, like, I don't know. I just mean, like, it's exclusively on YouTube.
Couldn't find it available at any reputable podcast.
Well, I'm just wondering what the strategy is. That's all. Like, let's get it everywhere. Everywhere podcasts are found. Yeah, it's called Just Curious with Sarah, not Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. Just Curious with Sarah. And she's not the only one who launched a podcast, actually. Rosie O'Donnell finally has a podcast after years of fans, including myself, begging her every time she does an Instagram live. I'm right there saying, where is the podcast? And so she finally launched one for her 61st birthday. Or that's when the podcast came out. And it's, I know you said you didn't have a chance to listen to it yet. I've only listened to one episode so far, but it's long form conversations with guests. And
oh, I love it.
I think it's going to be guests that you're not going to get anywhere else. Like, she had on Sharon Gless, who was the actor from Queer as Folk. Did you watch Queer as Folk?
No, I didn't, but I know who Sharon Gless is. Yeah, she's also a member of the Academy.
She was a very iconic podcast guest. It was a great interview.
That is set in my hometown. I'm from Pittsburgh, so.
Oh, really? It was shot in Toronto. Yes, I have not
Queer as Folk. This is another one of our connections. Wow, look at this.
Yeah, the Rosie podcast, though, I don't, without going too much into it, because I know you aren't super familiar yet, there was a little bit of a damper on the podcast celebrations, because just around the time that the podcast came out, she also posted on her Instagram something that a lot of people found very disturbing, which was she posted a screenshot of the podcast, The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling, and with the caption that said, "This is a brilliant podcast, tune in." And a lot of people had a lot to say in the comments about that.
Oh, no.
Because, like, I haven't listened to that podcast, but my understanding is that it's potentially not the most balanced look at the J.K. Rowling situation. Yeah. I mean, the title alone. And I think Rosie O'Donnell might have gotten a little bit duped by this podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
I also learned that it's, like, it's the podcast is being released by the Free Press, which was founded by Barry Weiss. Mm-hmm. It made me a little sad, and it didn't seem like from the comments that Rosie was really understanding why people were outraged about that.
Yeah, I mean, and I cannot speak to this situation. I was not even aware of the podcast controversy. So I have no idea. I've never heard of that podcast before. I've heard of Rosie's podcast, but not this J.K. Rowling podcast. I've never heard of that. I did not know about this Instagram post, so I have no idea what that is all about. But that is crazy if it is true.
I don't think she's, like, saying that she, like, endorses JK or transphobia at all. I just think she was saying that, like, this was a really well done podcast where most of us are like, I don't think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just feels odd to maybe just publicize, even regardless of what it is, again, saying this, having no idea what this podcast is or what Rosie even posted, to just, like, publicize something with J.K. Rowling when you're a member of you know, the LGBT community. So it feels a little odd. But do you think that Sarah would have, with her podcast, it's now coming to me, it's called Just Curious. Do you think that she would have landed more with her audience base if she had called it Bi Curious?
She needs us on her team. I just I want to work for her. Give me the Instagram passwords, hand over the accounts to me, like, give me the podcast. Let's make this work. And we're calling it Bi Curious.
Yes, she needs to know her demographic of listeners. Her demographic of listeners would respond to Bi Curious
on the Doing It Gracefully network.
Yeah.
Yes. In other news, Whoopi Goldberg debuted a new glasses-free look on The View.
Work
after years of glasses being part of her signature look. It's not that we've never seen her without, it's just that this is part of the Whoopi look. What do you think of Whoopi's new look?
I mean, it's jarring, I think, to see her without the glasses, but I love that she is so excited that she, because she, it seemed like it was really bothering her. I didn't realize it was bothering her as much as it was, because when she said about not being able to read the cue cards for the Star Trek thing, it really frustrated her. And I was like, yeah, Whoopi, like, take care of yourself. Get your, you know, who cares about your iconic look? Get your eyes did. But I love when they open up about things that are happening with their health. Like Sunny also recently opened up about what's been going on with her body and what she's been going through. And also that very odd moment where Whoopi talked about being body shamed by that critic when she shot Till while undergoing treatment that also affected her body. But I do like that it was a sort of service journalism health reporting from like Dr. Jennifer Ashton Goldberg in her little pamphlet. I mean, I watched this 9 times before reporting on it, though, because I feel like I could not understand.
Oh, no. She
her initial breakdown of what she had, it was just kind of like...
Talking about I didn't lenses. Get it at first. They did something to her lens and...
And cataracts.
Yeah, and then took out the... small. They're like, it wasn't cataracts, though. And she was like, no, it's not cataracts. And then she was like, it was small cataracts.
Yes, yes. And then she said the name presbyopia, biopia, I think is something. That was confirmed that that is what she had, was that. That's what the condition was.
They also said astigmatism, like... which I also have astigmatism. I'm on a similar journey.
It isn't cataract surgery because I only have a cataract here. Mm-hmm. But they can remove the lens when you have teeny tiny cataracts and replace them. Mm-hmm.
I do also love this moment brought up another recurring Whoopi thing that I just think is hilarious. Like when she's unaware of something or of exact information, she's just like saying to nobody, but looking directly at the guests, like, we'll put it up on our website, like going rogue. It's like when she invites someone to sit back on the table for the full hour. I wish that somebody would do a supercut of Whoopi being like, we'll put it on the website. And I always check and it's never on the website.
We need a website tracker, like someone to track the statements Whoopi makes and it what yes. made it to the website, what didn't.
Yes, because I was looking at, there was one sweater that she was wearing one time that had all the different cartoon characters on it. And she was like, oh, we'll put it on the website. And I was furiously checking the website and it was not on the website. So bless whoever's in charge of that.
Yeah. So it was also a little bit of a rough month in general for Whoopi because she ended up having to apologize for something again on The View. She used the G slur, the Romani G slur.
People who still believe that he got, you know, somehow in the election.
You know, when you're a certain age, you use words that you know from when you were a kid or you remember saying, and that's what I did today, and I shouldn't have.
I think it's interesting the way that the quick response to this when she said it. She said it like without knowing that it was a word that people don't say anymore. And it was interesting because The View is so used to backlash in this day and age that immediately after the show was over, there was already a video up on Twitter of Whoopi apologizing for using it. Am I wrong?
Well, no, there's... I have something to add.
Please do, because I'm sure I almost forgot to even mention it, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to say that... let's just say that I believe... You might be speaking with the person who prompted that video.
Oh, so you reached out and were like, oh, I think you might want to apologize. Oh my God.
Well, no. We would never say that. I would never say, you need to apologize. No, no, but you reach out and you say, I noticed that this happened. Is there any further comment or, you know, anything that needs to be addressed? That video went up very shortly.
It was very quick. It was quick.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, you reach out for a statement. They posted that on Twitter. I think that, I mean, I can't obviously speak for any group of people, but I can speak to the way that Whoopi apologized here. And I, it, like you said, it was quick, it was direct, it felt honest. She said that she used certain words like growing up and has now learned that it's wrong and that she won't do it again. So yeah, it was a pretty, I think it was a, it played like a swift and considered apology, I think.
I think like Whoopi's kind of willingness to, there's been years on The View where it seemed like Whoopi was going to quit and it seemed like she didn't really want to be there. And I think Whoopi now seems like really invested and committed to The View. And I think that's why she is willing to just do the apology, even if she doesn't fully understand sometimes why she's apologizing, like the Jewish Holocaust comments.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's still to this day not clear whether she fully understands the outrage, but she's like, I'm going to do the apology because I do still want to be here and I'm willing to like just accept that and apologize.
Yeah, I think that that sentiment runs through to a lot of them. It seems like a lot of them, more so even than when I first started watching every single day, are a little bit more protective of the just overall tone of the show, whereas they don't like, it doesn't seem that they like it that there is certain coverage. I'm not even necessarily talking about mine, but it just seems like they've been referencing a little bit more like coverage of the show and the way things are framed. And in, well, I mean, Whoopi does still give us these moments like the yelling at Taraji or the announcing that she has a Tootsie in her mouth at the top of the show, like these fun things. But then it's almost like there's an annoyance with the way that those things are then digested, even though people are sort of treating them as the jokes that they are. Like, I remember the whole thing when Whoopi and Joy, like Joy made that comment about like all my friends left the show. And then Whoopi kind of had that really funny exchange with her where she was pretending to cry. And there was some coverage of it that framed it as if it was a real fight. I mean, obviously it wasn't, but it does seem like that they are getting more protective of the show overall. It just reads like that in the way that even the mug thing, like when Whoopi was like, oh, we get blamed for dropping gas, and Joy was like, no, that was a mug. Like it seems like they're a little bit more protective of the seriousness of the show.
Yeah, now there's multiple times where Whoopi will make a joke and then now we'll be like, that's a joke, like just so you know. Yeah. That was joking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it takes the fun out of it sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So okay, moving on to some other things. As we've said, you're not the only person who's been covering The View, Pete. There's also the U.S. Sun. And I get Google alerts for The View, and I often receive these updates. And I'd love to read you this recent one that really caught my attention. It's a little bit of a different style to your writing. The U.S. Sun has been reporting, as I mentioned in like a past episode, I think, on Anna's partying, just relentlessly reporting on this woman and her partying, because Anna has a busy social calendar. Like, she's friends with Eva Longoria, Gloria Estefan. Yes. She's playing pickleball. She's got a lot going on. She's flying from Florida back to New York all the time with her cha-cha. So they wrote this article about this event that Anna went to, and I would just like to share it. So it says,
yes,
sexy view. The View's Anna Navarro flaunts figure in low-cut, sexy black gown as fans praise how fabulous host looks in new photos. The View co-host placed two posts dedicated to showing off her lavish outfit on her Instagram account. One of the posts was a photo dump of the 51-year-old posing with her tuxedo-wearing husband Al, 75, and their pet dog Cha-Cha, while the other was a close-up selfie shot of Anna smizing, appearing to flaunt her gorgeous glam. The TV star's social media slideshow captured the entirety of her gown, displaying the floor-length, off-the-shoulder, low-cut halter gown in all its glory. Anna's waist appeared slim, and her cleavage perky in the gown as it flowed over her trimmed-down hips. The political strategist kept her look clean, wearing minimal jewelry with her look. Anna and her hubby looked up at the camera with a smile in each photo of the carousel post, except for one where they looked down at Cha-Cha. Anna captioned that post of her and her family, My life in three pics. In the solo snap that Anna shared of her from the special night outing, her makeup looked seamless. Her porcelain skin was matte. Her satin red lipstick was unbudged, and her silver and black eye makeup was crafted flawlessly. Anna pointed to her red lips in the picture, which matched her fingernail polish. She captioned the selfie, "I rarely wear color on my lips. I'm a neutrals nudes type of person. Wearing bright red lips is way out of my comfort zone. Feels a little too extra for my 51-year-old face." Fans flooded both Anna's photo dump and the selfie post with compliments praising the ABC anchor's look. "You are looking spectacular, Anna, hubby, and Cha-Cha. Look great, too," one fan lauded. "You look gorgeous, Anna, and a handsome husband at your side," another co-signed.
Reads like a fantasy romance novel.
Who are we talking about here? Anna Navarro or Kim Kardashian?
I wish someone would write the article about Whoopi's not wearing glasses like that.
Her porcelain skin was matte.
I mean, hey, I am, again, like, I'm not telling anybody how to do their journalism. You do what you got to do, and I will get my enjoyment out of it. And I very much enjoyed, again, that dramatic reading of that. That was it read like it was like a romance novel. It really was.
It's crazy to me that, like, the thing is, I feel fine reading this because I know Anna Navarro would love this.
She would lose her mind over it. She would absolutely. Do you think she read it?
I hope so. If not, maybe I'll send it to her. She's my best friend on Instagram. So,
yeah, exactly. Text it to her. Text it to Whoopi to text it to her because you text Whoopi, apparently.
Yeah, we'll stick to that story. Okay, so should we just quickly talk about some of the bigger hot topics that have happened in recent times?
Yes.
What hot topics are you doing?
So, the past bit in Hot Topics on The View, we saw the return of Day of Hot Topics, which we love, Day of Hot Topics.
Yes.
As well as a new segment called View and A, where they have been answering advice questions from viewers. You have to wonder if this was inspired by that day that Sarah and Joy had to take audience questions when they were filling time because Sunny and Anna were dragged off the stage that day.
Oh, I remember that day.
My only complaint is, like, I wish that they would go into the audience with the microphone like Wendy Williams.
Like Wendy, yes. Oh, could you imagine Joy in a sea of the people that come to see The View, like that lady that called Whoopi an old broad?
Yes.
I would love to see Joy Behar standing next to that lady.
Joy would be so brutal to these people, too, yes. In the advice questions. Yes. Like, reading the advice questions that people have sent in is just, it's not the same. But I don't know.
The library is open.
If Wendy can pull that off for however many years that she did it, like, I think we can send Joy Behar into the audience, or Whoopi, or even Alyssa Farah Griffin. Honestly, send Alyssa out.
Well,
let's hear it.
Yes, and then, but somebody dumps a bucket of water on her when she's done as a gag.
Let's get Alyssa on the street. Like, let's reboot Billy on the street. Alyssa Farah Griffin on the street.
Griffin on the ground. Oh my god.
Yes. We're onto something.
That is a brilliant segment. I actually would. That would make her infinitely more interesting, I think.
Griffin on the ground? Absolutely.
Griffin on the ground.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the beginning, I was very much like, I don't want to see any fun stuff with Alyssa because, you know, I've been on this journey with her.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress. But now, ever since Christmas when they threw the toilet paper at her, I'm like, no, like, let's get her active. Let's get her moving around. It's fun.
Well, I want to ask you something about Alyssa, because I have been looking at her Instagram activity lately and Instagram activity related to her. Have you all ever discussed who is following who and who isn't?
Of the hosts themselves?
Yes. Yes.
Not really.
Okay, because I did notice that Sunny is not following Alyssa on Instagram, but Alyssa is following Sunny, and Sunny is also following Meghan McCain. I know that Meghan said that Sunny is the one that she still has contact with, but Anna is not following Alyssa, and Alyssa is not following Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi is not following Alyssa, but Sarah is following Alyssa. So, like,
if Sarah and Alyssa aren't, like, having regular dinners every night, I would be shocked, because they seem to really get along.
I just was like, I would think that, I just was surprised that they're not all following each other. I just found that out today as I was looking. I was very curious.
My interpretation of this is Whoopi doesn't know that she's, you know, like, she just hasn't even, no one has followed Alyssa for her yet. And Anna and Alyssa not following each other, that makes sense. There's it's very much like on Real Housewives when they're like, I'm just going to be civil, but they're not friends.
Cordial.
Yeah, cordial. And, but the gag is that Sunny's not following Alyssa. That is tea, actually. Actually, Joey,
that's
that
the
is
one that
tea.
Surprised me. Yes. Well, I tried to bring it today. I was really surprised by that. When I looked, and I hope it's not just like an Instagram glitch where it's like, I tried it like six times to type it in to see if she was following her, and she's not.
Oh my God. So, what a gag. Sunny, address this press conference now.
Oh no. God, I just thought it was, I thought it was very, very curious.
So back to Hot Topics, obviously on the same note of discussing Alyssa, the biggest topic that was dominating The View these days is the Trump indictment. And it was really funny because they did not have Alyssa Griffin on the ground, because when this news broke, Alyssa was actually off. And this was because she had COVID. And she actually got COVID, I believe, twice in a very short period of time.
Rebound COVID, yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard of rebound COVID, but go off. And it's just funny because, like, this is what Alyssa was brought on the show to do, is to, like, talk about her proximity to Trump. So I have to laugh that she was missing during this breaking
the biggest
news.
Development.
Yes.
I mean, well, when she came back, we certainly got headlines of a different nature with with regards to Sunny.
Exactly, yes. Because when she did come back, she had this disagreement with Sunny over whether or not Trump would go to prison. And so basically they were talking, Sunny was talking about the case and saying how it should be pretty easy to prove Trump's wrongdoing because of the paper trail. And just talking about how, like, she doesn't like how people keep saying that they were misdemeanors, because people still go to jail for misdemeanors all the time. And Alyssa, real quick, Griffin, jumped in and was like, saying that as much as she wants to see him held accountable, she doesn't think that this is going to, like, take Trump down. And she said every legal expert that she has talked to has said that it's most likely just going to be a fine and probation. And that is when Sunny cuts in and says, I'll tell you why you're wrong as this legal expert.
With finger pointed at herself.
Exactly.
The felony charges, the max sentence is 4 years, but this is a first-time offender. It's a nonviolent crime. It's a Class E felony. Every legal expert I've talked to has said most likely a fine and probation if he's even convicted.
I'll tell
convicted.
You why you're wrong as this legal expert.
That is wrong. And I will
he's
tell
not
you,
going to jail
I,
over
I will
this.
Tell you
he's
why,
not going to jail
I,
over
I will
this.
Tell you why you're wrong.
This is the drama and line delivery that we need on The View, that we have come to expect on The View. And this is why Sunny is oftentimes the MVP on this team, because she is giving us that drama.
She really is. And I will say that I think my favorite part of this, though, was the one audience member you can hear go, oop, right after Sunny says it. I have listened to it 9 times. She's going, oop. It's so funny. But yes, this was, it's one of those classic View moments where you just, like, you grab the table and you go, oh my God, like, shit's going down. And I love those moments. And you see, it's also interesting because you see Alyssa want to say something as soon as Sunny says this, but she, like, and this is, I think, my problem with Alyssa as a co-host, is that she holds herself back. It's like, I almost think of it there's going to be when things do come out, it's almost like that scene in Austin Powers when the robots like hit their breaking point and they're like, bleh, and they just explode with something. Mm-hmm. But in Alyssa's case, it's not sparks and fireworks and Meghan McCain like flashing her teeth. It is an eye roll as Whoopi Goldberg like mm-hmm. tries to get them to transition. And I'm just like, this is like, I want my conservative host like seething, foaming at the mouth. Like, I want them like, that's what I want my conservative co-host to do. And I just feel like Alyssa is playing it too safe there. And she really could have taken advantage of that moment and really had an iconic view clash there.
I'm completely on the same page as you. It's that she gets like very close, but then yep. she's like, she's too smart and too reasonable to be willing to like, look to like step out, like, how do I put it, like, step out of her character. Yeah. Like,
right. Yeah, well, because like, as you've said many times on the show, like, she comes from like a PR background, and she is, you can see her policing herself throughout the almost the entire show sometimes. And I think that that's not the kind of energy that works on the table. I think the table needs energy that is not self-aware to the point where it's policing what it's saying. You have to obviously be mindful when you have a platform like that of things that you're saying, but to police yourself is, I think, limiting your potential to make good TV. Because like, when you're hired for The View, you are not hired just to be on TV and talk about points. You are there to make a show,
entertain.
And yes, and I just feel like she's not fulfilling. Like, she's obviously a very, like, well, I mean, like, she's obviously knowledgeable in her world of things that she is talking about and the points that she thinks that she's making. She's obviously very, like, researched, but she's just not engaging as a co-host. I just don't, there's nothing really, I don't know. There's just that spark is sort of missing that I like in my conservative co-hosts.
Yeah. In the last episode we did, I kind of said that, like, I misspoke because I said, like, maybe she's not that conservative, but it's not that I don't think she's that conservative. I think she's, like, probably relatively similar to how Meghan McCain was when it all shakes down. But it's that she's not coming across as like as passionate as even like an Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Right.
And yes. I think when you are on this show that is for Democrats and you're the one Republican, it's, you have to like compensate a bit and be the star. Like, even though mm-hmm. you're the outnumbered person, that seat, you're also low key the star of the show because you're the person that is offering something different for everyone else to argue back at.
Right, right. And that's, I think, I understand how that could be more difficult for that person too, because they don't have, like, the only other person that she could possibly team up with, which would be Anna, seemingly is keeping tabs on the last time she freaked out on her, because she was like, what, I haven't freaked out on you in 2 weeks. So that must be extra difficult for her in the sense that the television aspect of it. But yeah, like, if you're going to be this sort of conservative seat filling person, oh, not me calling her a seat
conservative,
filler.
Conservative seat filling person.
Seat filler. She is a conservative seat filling person. She certainly is not sharing the kind of views that are going to get that one lone guy clapping in the audience that Meghan used to like to shout out to. Like, that's just not happening for the kind of things that she's saying. And I think that's the kind of conservative host that the show needs.
But it's weird because I can't tell. It seems like maybe that's what the show wants now. Like, maybe they want to be more under the radar and just, like, occasionally get picked up for, like, whatever silly thing happened that day. Like, I'm not sure. Maybe things will change in the election. But
yeah. But then why do you have... Then that brings me back to the point of, like, why then are Whoopi and Joy seemingly, you know, chastising people for picking up on those silly, funny things? Like, I don't know. It's a weird dynamic.
I was going to say, though, like, in this topic where Alyssa was saying, like, he's not going to jail over this. He's not going to jail over this. I did think this was a moment where, like, I felt like she was trying. And I actually was going to like praise her a bit, because when Sunny did cut her off and make that comment, she, yes, Alyssa did roll her eyes, but she didn't go completely quiet either. She still was like talking over Sunny and being like, he's not going to jail over this. He's not going to jail over this. And then like she struggled to get back into it once Whoopi started talking. But yes, I do think she's trying. And so I think there, I'm now willing to be like, there's maybe she'll grow. Like I maintain my position that I've always maintained about Alyssa, but I'm a bit like more willing and hoping that she'll just like grow into this and realize that like she is supposed to be the star of the show. She's not supposed to be like, real quick, I have something to say. Like, let's stop the real quick and like, let's just own it and be the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, it, as silly as it sounds, I actually kind of, and this is in no way me endorsing Megan's views or the things that Megan stands for, but I kind of miss the energy that Megan brought to the table. I really do. I think it was entertaining. I kind of found myself sitting there watching The View being like, oh, what shit is Megan going to cause today?
It was exciting.
And it was exciting. I don't want to use the word fun, but it was interesting to watch that dynamic. And that kind of dynamic, you can't forget about that dynamic as a television show when you are a show like The View that has the reputation that it does. So I think it's going to hurt them in the long run. I do that if they keep Alyssa if they keep Alyssa in the same version that she is in right now, Alyssa 2.0, I think needs to
ready for it.
Start kicking in.
Yeah. And it's not that like, I wouldn't like want Megan back on the show and go back to like screaming necessarily, but
I would.
what I was going to say is like, it's not that we need like literal yelling and personal attacks, but what we need is this same energy that Sunny was giving in this and saying like, well, why don't I tell you why you're wrong as this legal expert? Like we need that. We need those sassy comments. We need those quick comebacks. And I don't think that that's a strength of Alyssa at all. And it was a strength of Lindsey Granger's. I am a power Granger.
I knew you were going to bring up Lindsey. And I think the reason why that didn't work with Megan a lot is because Megan often backed up her, she gave herself credibility by either saying what, like, I'm John McCain's daughter or I'm from the state of Arizona. So it's like, you don't really have too solid of a foundation to stand on, but Sunny does. And that's what makes it exciting when she says things like that. Someone with that kind of stature and knowledge and experience, but is also able to make the good TV like that. That's where the magic on The View is, I think.
Yeah, I think we're completely aligned. And I think there's a reason why Elizabeth Hasselbeck and Meghan McCain are like the most renowned conservatives on that show. For better or for worse, they were passionate. Yeah. It's not that they were making good points. It's not that they were right. I know a lot of people couldn't stand them, but they made good TV.
They did. They really did. And I think it's, I might be conditioned too much by the Drag Race, dynamic of television, but that's kind of what I want with I want The View to just be Untucked, but politics.
Yeah. Oh my God. I want them to for sure have cocktails, House of Love cocktails. Three mugs worth each. Actually, there was that one election special in 2016. They did like a one-off primetime special and they had a bar for that.
I didn't watch that. Was that 2016?
Yeah, it was the 2016 election and they were like reacting to the results live, and they had a bar.
No, shut up. Were they really?
Yeah, I don't know if they were actually drinking or not, but they like said they had a bar.
No, I mean reacting to the results live.
Yes. We had Joy Behar. And they planned this special because they thought Hillary was going to win, and it was like, we're a female show and we're going to have like the first female president. It's going to be like a celebratory thing. And then the results went the other way. And like, you can watch, there's a compilation of Joy like spiraling that you can look up on YouTube of her coming to terms with this.
Right,
and it's really funny as well because she's sitting beside Candace Cameron Bure, who is a Trump voter. And so the two of them sitting there and Candace being like, well, I'm okay with this. joy, like being the world is coming to an end. You must look that up if it's still up.
Wait, is it called Joy Behar's Election Night Meltdown on The View?
Yeah, probably.
I think that's it. Okay, all right. Yeah, I just looked it up right now. I'm sorry. You're going to have typing noises on the podcast.
No, it's okay.
I needed to make sure I bookmarked that. That is incredible.
Noises. I literally have sirens going all the time. Anyways.
Phantom noises? Do you need to put a coaster under your mug?
Oh my God, yeah. Probably.
I'm going to blame you for dropping gas.
The other thing I wanted to say about the Alyssa Sunny dynamic is there was this topic that they did about Bill Maher, which they constantly do this same topic about Bill Maher, about how he's like anti-woke. And so they were talking about that, and Sunny gave this like really amazing like breakdown of what it means to be woke and talking about how like it's been co-opted by the right. A really good like Sunny moment there. And Alyssa pushed back on that as well.
He has called college campuses too woke because they are talking about diversity and social justice and inclusion. And so he is the problem that has wokeness.
Why shouldn't opinion be part of
That is not what it meant. That is not what it meant. That is a co-opting of the term. And that is to take the power away from Black people for standing up for what we deserve from this country.
Okay, but even just thinking about it, if the goal is to reach as much diversity, inclusion, and equity, why wouldn't be diversity of thought be included?
Diversity of thought is not the equivalent of being woke. Woke is not a political term. Woke is a term about racism, about social injustice, about equality. It doesn't mean you like Trump or you don't.
And that was another moment that I just wanted to like say I appreciated, even though I'm 100% on board with Sunny. I don't agree with what Alyssa was, the point she was trying to make. But that was like another moment where I was like, okay, like, thank you for trying. And when Sunny kind of shut her down, she kept trying. Like, thank you, Alyssa, for trying. That's what I wanted to say.
Great. Seat filling and trying.
With all of this like indictment news, I'm mostly just happy for Stormy Daniels for like all of the free promo for the love of DILFs on Out TV, which she hosts.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, moving on. Another like big moment that happened in recent times on The View, although it's kind of been a while since now, was this Jane Fonda moment, this appearance that she had on The View with Lily Tomlin to promote. Actually, I'm putting this in the Hot Topics section, but it's not really a hot topic. They're promoting one of their new movies, and they started talking about women's rights because they were being asked about like a potential 9 to 5 sequel. And Jane was talking about how if they were to do it now, they would have to have like 2 or 3 jobs because of the way the world has gone to shit. And they get on to talking about women having agency over their bodies. And Jane starts to talk about how we've now had like decades and decades of women being able to decide for themselves what they want to do with their bodies. And she says, "We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are." And as a follow-up, Joy says to her, "Okay, but besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest people do?" And that's where Jane says, "Murder." And Lily is like, "What?" And Jane goes, "Murder."
You are killing it with the dramatic reenactments tonight.
"We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
I think the women will rise up."
That's the activist.
That's Jane
speaking. Yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's the truth.
Very soon.
It is the truth. But we're not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous...
What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that.
You don't know. They'll pick up on that and just run with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding.
This is one of those moments that I think it was so crazy that I initially honestly missed it, that it even happened. Because I sometimes have the show on just in the background, and usually if something crazy happens, like it'll catch my interest. But I think I missed this when it initially happened. And then when I started seeing the headlines coming out of it, I was like, oh my God, what the hell did I miss on The View today? And I mean, I usually stan anything that Jane Fonda does, but I just think that as someone on Jane Fonda's level, like, you have to understand that on the most hated show by conservatives, as one of the conservatives' most hated celebrities, like, you have to sort of know that what you say in that sense is going to get taken out of context or framed as if you were being serious. And I think that can be damaging to a movement if you get people believing she was actually advocating for violence in the name of a political cause, even though she clearly was joking.
Yeah, it's like, I can kind of see both sides here, because I think Jane is obviously joking, but and I think she's also just like at that age where like she just does not give a fuck. Like, she's just gonna say whatever she's not gonna say. She's Jane Fonda, she's Barbarella. But I personally would not say that if I was going on TV. That's me though. What I also thought was so funny is, like, again, The View has had so many controversies that, like, as soon as she says it, Joy is like, you're kidding. You're kidding. Tell them you're kidding. Like, please, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. Like,
no, yes, she jumps in immediately.
And she was right, because, like, people jumped on this immediately. There was a representative in Florida, like an elected congressperson. I don't know. Her name is
Seat Filler.
Her name is Anna Paulina Luna. And she put out a statement after this happened and said, I have just notified Capitol Police of Jane Fonda's call to murder pro-life politicians, as I am a pro-life member of Congress. And she did not retract or clarify that she was joking with her statement. We are taking this threat as a serious one. Jane Fonda and The View must issue a full retraction of Fonda's sickening call to murder pro-life politicians and those who fight for the rights of unborn babies.
Sickening.
And then Marjorie Taylor Greene, as well as another one, she said, like, oh, so they want to murder us now, or something like that.
This is what I mean. This is what I mean. Like, this is, I just think that, yeah, Jane Fonda does not give any fucks, but it's like, Jane Fonda, maybe you should give some fucks and, you know, think that this could potentially, like, how do, like, do you think she considered how the conservatives were gonna play this, or do you think she just didn't consider it at all and just truly gave no shits?
I think she was just talking how you might talk amongst your friends, and then maybe for a split second was like, I should clarify, and then thought, you know what, I don't feel like it today.
She's in her 80s. She's how many kicks does she, you know, like, how many more kicks is she gonna get like this on The View? I don't mean in a death sense. I mean in like a that's not what I meant. Just no, that's not what I meant. That is not what I meant. Like, I just think that there is maybe that is what I meant.
Rest in peace, Jane Fonda. Right. I just have a hard time, like, getting outraged about this. Like, I acknowledge that, like, she shouldn't have said that. But I also am like, Jane Fonda is not a murderer. And I'll stand by that. And also, I don't think any Republicans, since she said this, have gotten murdered. So, I'm not saying I'm not saying nothing negative came out of this. Because I agree, like, it can really take away from a movement. But I also just have such a hard time, like, being outraged about it. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Kathy Griffin Trump beheading photo. Head. It's like, are all of those people, like, actually outraged? Or are they just outraged because they, like, feel like they should be outraged?
Right. Well, I think a lot of it is people seeing something that, it's not necessarily that they think that they should be outraged. It's that they are saying things that they know will rile up the people who follow and support them. So they're going to lean into that and try to fit any square object into a circle peg. Like, that's, or a circle. Am I mixing up my comparisons? You know what I'm trying to say. They're just going to try to pull whatever they can and manipulate whatever they can to appeal to a certain type of person that is going to get riled up. So, yeah. It's sad, but made for a good View moment, I guess.
Her statement on this, she said, While women's reproductive rights are a very serious issue and extremely important to me, my comment on The View was obviously made in jest. My body language and tone made it clear to those in the room and to anyone watching that I was using hyperbole to make a point. Women across the country are facing real threats when it comes to our bodies, and people lose faith in our mission to protect women when others choose to focus on tangential issues and passing jokes instead of the actual problems at hand.
You had a legal note there.
Yeah, oh my God, I did. Well, I just wanted to say that she maintains that it was obviously a joke.
Yes.
Okay.
As she should. There we go.
Let's just quickly do something more light and fun before we go. I want to talk about The Little Mermaid, the most controversial movie of all time. The women at The View. Sorry, was that a good transition?
Something light and fun. Joy Behar joking about The Little Mermaid and second base.
They were talking about the live action Little Mermaid and how there's been all of this talk about how certain songs that didn't age well are getting a rewrite, such as Kiss the Girl and Poor Unfortunate Souls, to reflect the modern view on consent and female empowerment. And what you are referring to is this lovely discussion that they had about whether this is a worthy thing to do or not. And Joy Behar's contribution to the discussion, which was...
Oh, wait a minute. So wait a minute. When this consent thing happened, she had legs. Because I was thinking, as a mermaid, how far could it go? It go to second base. That's it.
Yeah. No. But
she had legs. She has legs. Now we're talking.
She has legs. So how do you consent?
Am I right or
when
wrong?
You can't talk?
I'm right.
I think it's important to note that Ariel is 16 when in both of these films, so I don't want to make any sort of advocation of Joy's joke. We can, however, point you to EW.com's write-up of this moment. It did.
You know, interestingly, it never occurred to me that that was the reason why people were so outraged. I actually thought that people were outraged because they were like, ew, mermaid.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, I'm pretty sure it's because Ariel is a child.
How do you feel about this? Are you a Disney gay?
Okay, so I always need to make this distinction. I am not a Disney adult in terms of the films and just Disney as a whole. I am strictly a Disney Parks adult. Mm. So... If I would turn my laptop around right now, you would see my RuPaul Build-A-Bear and my literal map of Epcot that is on a magnet on my refrigerator. Your video just froze for a second and your eyes were closed and I thought you were like cringing in pain as I was saying this. But I am obsessed with Disney parks, not Disney as a whole. So I will say The Little Mermaid was my favorite growing up. That was my favorite animated movie growing up. And yeah, that was my initial thought as to why that would have been a newsworthy thing, is because Ariel is only 16 years old and Joy was making that joke. So yeah, that was my first reaction to that.
I think The Little Mermaid must be everyone's favorite movie because everyone, like every little thing about this movie becomes a discussion. Just watch the cartoon.
Well, I think that's what people are saying. A lot of the discussion around it is they think that it's changing their beloved cartoon too much. And especially with the casting of Halle Bailey, which I think is amazing. And it's, you know, you watch those videos of parents posting their children online, seeing Halle revealed in the first teaser trailer as Ariel, and just the look in some of these kids' eyes, like it makes you emotional seeing it and how movies really can influence an entire generation of people, much like the cartoon influenced an entire generation of people. So it's a really great, I think, direction that Disney is going in with this. And I think I'm straying too far off of The View, but this is a great time to plug EW's cover that we just did on The Little Mermaid, which you can read on EW.com.
You're so Barbara Walters.
I am the Barbara Walters of Drag Race. That's what my TikTok bio says.
I think on The Little Mermaid, people maybe are just like a little bit too entitled. Like, this movie, it's not being made like for you, maybe. Like,
right, chill. Exactly.
And just like, yes. Take it or leave it. Like, someone else will make another one in like 10 years. Don't worry about it.
Well, Sofia Coppola was supposed to do one at one point. I think it was like maybe 10, 11 years ago. She was going to adapt the actual original source material, not the Disney version. And can you imagine how wild that would have been? Like, that would have been.
I would love to see The Little Mermaid, but like in the style of Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
Where it's like her, like, yes, swimming around the ocean, just being like a bad girl, being like, I want legs.
But there are Converse sneakers on those legs.
Just like vaping or something. I will say the other thing that Joy did in this topic that was really funny is she starts talking about Bambi. She's like, I just want to say one more gripe about Disney, and I'm probably going to get fired for this. And then as she says that, the music immediately starts playing. They're like, you're going to say something about Disney? Like, you can see.
She is pissed. She is like, this grievance that she has been waiting to air for 70 years. She is like, that movie gave me asthma and I don't even have asthma. Like, she was pissed. And yeah, and they just cut.
Can I have a gripe against Disney? I'll probably get fired for this. Okay. I just want to say that the worst of all of the cartoons was Bambi. When that mother was killed, I had an asthma attack and I don't have asthma. That was
very sad.
Very upset.
We're going to go.
And I have stumble had sex.
We're right on the edge here.
Iconic. Yes. I think on this topic, I'll leave you with this Facebook comment that I saw about the Little Mermaid controversy. Bernice wrote, has anyone asked the kids? We assume so much as adults. This world is just crazy.
That's very, what about the children?
What about the children?
Are we going to have to pay for the rights for that now?
No, please sing the full song. We have a huge budget.
I would actually rather sing This Is For My Girls.
Well, we have the rights to Huntsman's Back.
Sing that. No, I'll pass. I'll pass. Legacy of seat fillers.
Anyways, I think I'll wrap things up here. Unless there's anything else that you need to get off your chest about The View, now is the time to share it, Joy Nofi.
There is not. I just want to again say a sincere thank you for indulging my extreme curiosity about your podcast and wanting to be a guest on it. So this was so much fun. I seriously laugh so hard at this podcast as I'm listening to it. So thank you for that. And thank you for having me today. This was really a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for filling in for Marie.
I'm a seat filler. Yeah.
And you are a great one.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. You know what? Usually Marie does this part. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but...
Did I just give an emotional thank you before I'm done?
No, I just mean I'm going to need you to complete the sentence. Just relax. Just go with me for a second. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much, Joy. Thank you so much, Joey, for filling in for Marie. And until next time, I hope everyone has a great day and takes a little time to enjoy
The View.
Just keeping it classic. Hit it, Abby.
That's all, folks. See you later. John Huntsman, the real job creator.
What did you say?
Murder.
We're bringing up.